Welcome to the ESBC Pulpit. ESBC Pulpit is a ministry of the Eastside Baptist Church in Bartlett, Tennessee, and it's preaching that comes from the pulpit of Eastside Baptist Church.
It's turned on. There we go. You know, I may not be much here on earth, but I'm well connected in heaven. Amen. If you're saved today, you can say the same thing. May not have much here, but boy, in heaven, I've got a mansion. Amen. I've got a lot more than that, too. So, and you do, too, if you've trusted Christ as your Savior. That's the most important decision that you'll ever make. When I was 19 years old, I made that choice and understood. I realized I was a sinner on my way to hell and that I could not save myself. And I trusted Jesus Christ to save me and to keep me. Amen. And that was something I had a challenge with. I didn't understand the keeping part. I didn't know that He would keep me too. Amen. And I was sure glad to know that He would keep me no matter what. 2 Timothy chapter 1. I want to read the first five verses there of 2 Timothy 1, and then we're going to come back and deal with a little more in this chapter. And I'll explain the message in just a moment. The Bible says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. That's the only place you'll have eternal life that is in Christ Jesus, only in Him. And he's writing to Timothy. Notice what he says here. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Now this is a letter written by the Apostle Paul while he's really waiting to be executed for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's waiting until he will be taken to the executioner, and they will end his life because he's been preaching Christ to the multitudes. Paul served the Lord Jesus faithfully. And during that time of serving Christ, he met a young man by the name of Timothy. Timothy had a dad that was an unsaved Greek, and we believe that he probably died by the time Timothy entered the ministry with Paul. But he had a grandmother and a mother who were faithful to the Lord that we believe were probably saved under the Apostle Paul's preaching ministry. And so Timothy then gets saved. We believe that Timothy was probably led to Christ by his parents or his grandmother and mother, but it's very possible that he was saved under the preaching of Paul as well. The grandparents and the mother simply laid the groundwork by teaching him the truth. But the point is, Paul calls him my beloved son. He's calling him that because he is a son of his in the faith, in the ministry, and in the work of God. And so we want to look at this person, Timothy, for a few moments this morning and think about this question. How can I raise a Timothy? I want to raise a child that's going to serve the Lord. Now, some of you say, well, I've already raised my kids. And most of our kids are they're all of adult age. And some of you can say, well, they're of adult age. I wish their actions would catch up. Amen? My mama's still saying that about me at age 54. But anyway, the truth is, sometimes we've already done that part. But notice in the text here, and we're going to see it in a moment, there's still a grandmother involved in this process. And this letter's written years after Timothy's out of the house and serving the Lord. So here's what I'm saying. There are some principles here that we ought to consider as we see our children and grandchildren being raised. We want to see God's hand on their lives. We want to produce a generation of Timothys. Now, every child is not going to be called to preach. Not every child is going to be called to marry a preacher, a female, a girl, you know, things like that. But God calls every Christian to serve Him faithfully. And that's what we want to see. And so that's what I want to talk to you about this morning, how to raise a Timothy. Let's pray together, and I've got 3 points, and I don't think it'll take us a long time. I hope it'll be a blessing and a help to you this morning. Let's pray. Father, We thank you for your word. I'm so thankful that we have this very personal letter that was inspired by you, written by Paul to Timothy. And he mentions so many things that are prevalent for us to consider today. They are important that we think about them. And God, I pray that you would help all of us to set our sights on raising children that will serve God, raising a Timothy that will serve you faithfully. And we'll thank you for what you do in this time of message today. Speak to our hearts from the Word of God. Challenge our walk with you. Help us as parents and grandparents to be the kind of people we need to be so that our children can look on and follow in the right direction. Have your way in this message, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Notice with me, first of all, the distinctives of a Timothy. The distinctives of a Timothy. And I think we see these first of all here in verse number 5. And the very first one is this, a real faith. Timothy had a real faith. It was not something conjured up. It was not something that you had to look at it and really look deep to tell whether or not he was a believer. You could see it in his life. And I want you to notice what Paul says here in verse number 5. He says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. That word unfeigned, that means literally to be without hypocrisy. It is a genuine faith. It is a real faith. It is a saving faith. In other words, it changes the person's life because it changes the person's destiny. I've met lots of people who are, let me put this in air quotes, saved, but you can't tell it by looking at their life. And they might have prayed a prayer, but that doesn't mean they've actually been born again. And whenever there's no change in the life, sometimes that's because there's been no change in the heart. And folks, listen to me. Timothy had a faith from a child that changed his life. It changed the way he lived. It changed his attitude about the world. It changed his actions. It changed him about sin. It made Timothy a different kind of person in the world in which he lived. He had a real faith. It was in all reality a faith that produced evidence that Paul and others could see. In fact, the Bible says in Acts chapter 16 that this young man Timothy, while he was still a teenager, was well reported of among the brethren. I read a statement the other day about a young man, and it was his dad that wrote the statement, and he wrote a statement like this, I'm thankful for this God-fearing, God-serving young man who is my son. What a blessing. You know, the Bible tells us, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in what? Truth. What a blessing. Timothy was that kind of young man. He had a real faith. He had a faith that could be seen. It was evident to those around him. Not only that, but he had a rooted faith. He had a rooted faith. It was a real faith because it was rooted. It was rooted in some lifestyle, in some family members that Timothy could see. You look back at verse number 5 again with me. He says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice. And I am persuaded, that word persuaded means to be thoroughly convinced, that in you also, he says. So what I'm telling you is this, is that Timothy's faith was a faith that was rooted in his family, but even beyond that, it was rooted in the Lord Jesus Christ because of what he could see in his family. How did Paul know about this faith in grandma and mom's life? How did Paul know about those things? Because Paul probably was the one that was preaching when grandma and mom got saved. They had trusted Christ under his ministry as he's preaching the gospel. And they had a life-changing impact because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, there's a difference that was made in their lives, and because of that, Timothy could look at their life and see a difference. He knew there was something different. Now, let me just explain something here. There was a great contrast between Timothy's dad and Timothy's mother. Now, they were married, and I believe she was faithful, and I don't know about his dad. The Bible really doesn't say much about him at all. In fact, go ahead and turn to Acts chapter 16 with me, if you would. Acts chapter 16. Now, some believe this is the first time Paul ever meets Timothy. I don't believe that's the case. Personally, I think Paul has known Timothy since he was a little boy. And I think Paul's had a chance to influence his life right along, you know. And I think it's important that we take knowledge of the little ones that are around us and try to encourage them for the Lord, try to do what we can to help them make wise decisions, invest in them. And I think that's what Paul was doing with Timothy all along. But look at this in Acts chapter 16. Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed. She believed his father, but his father was a Greek. So notice there's a contrast here. Here's a woman that's a believer and a father that's labeled as a Greek. Now, being called a Greek was not necessarily an insult or anything like that, but the point was this: he was not a believer. He was more of a Greek than he was anything else. And his roots were vested in Greek, possibly mythology, possibly other things. The Greeks were known for a lot of things. They were very smart people and very accomplished, even in warfare and things like that. But at this time, really, they were philosophers. And so that was maybe his big thing. But what was Timothy's mother? His mother was a believer. Now, here's the thing. Sometimes children grow up in a household where one parent's a believer and one parent's not a believer. You as a believer must live your life in such a way that that child sees the difference. You still must be loving, even if you have an unbelieving husband or vice versa, an unbelieving wife. You need to be loving. You need to be encouraging. You need to be the light in that home for everyone in that home. And so Timothy's faith was rooted. It was truly rooted in Christ, but he had seen the difference in his grandmother and his mother, and so therefore he was rooted in three generations and then all the way back to the Lord Jesus Christ in his faith. His faith was real. His faith was rooted. But I want you to notice something else that I think is important. His faith was a responding faith. His faith was a responding faith. Now, what do I mean by responding faith? I mean that when God spoke to his heart, he made a choice and then he did something about it. In Acts chapter 16, we didn't read this far in there, but in Acts chapter 16, Paul, the Bible says there, basically says to Timothy, hey, I want you to go with me and help serve the Lord. I want you to go along and follow me and learn the ministry. And guess what happened when he said that? You know what Timothy did? He went. Timothy went along with Paul and began a ministry of learning. He had an internship, if you will, with one of the most dynamic men in the New Testament. I mean, what an opportunity he had to learn from the Apostle Paul. And they developed a very close relationship. And so Timothy had a faith that responded when challenged by Paul. When Paul went to Timothy and said, Timothy, I believe God has more for you than just sitting on a church pew. I believe God wants you to be involved in ministry. I believe God wants you to preach the gospel. Now, he didn't force him into it. He explained to him that God had a plan for his life. And you know what Timothy did? He responded to that. He didn't resist it, he embraced it. Look with you, if you would, look with me at verse number 6 of 2 Timothy chapter 1. I'm going to read a few verses here and then come back and pull one out in particular, because I don't want you to get the idea that Timothy was only in ministry because Paul, who was his hero perhaps, kind of led him that way. Now, I don't think it's wrong to be encouraged, and I don't think it's wrong for a young person to desire to be in ministry. You know, the first time I thought about being a preacher was when I was about 7 years old. And I believe God was putting the thought in my heart all the way back then, even before I was saved. I told you about going to that little church. I heard the message the preacher preached on hell. It scared the daylights out of me. I realized I was lost, but I didn't know how to get saved. And so anyway, but that guy up there running back and forth on the platform shouting, I thought, that's what I want to do when I go to church. But God put it in my heart even back then. And so God spoke to Timothy as well, not just Paul, but God spoke to Timothy. Look at verse 6. He says, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God. It's the calling of God he's referring to here. The gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. That simply means that he placed him, he commissioned him into ministry. Like when we have a church service, we ordain a preacher. That's the idea. And he says in verse 7, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." What's Paul saying to Timothy? He's saying, be a bold Christian. Don't worry about what the world thinks about believers. You simply be bold in your faith. And he says in verse 9, this is what I want you to see. Who hath saved us? What's the word us mean? It means at least two people, doesn't it? What's Paul saying here? The same God that saved me saved you, Timothy. But notice what he goes on to say. Who hath saved us, listen, and called us. What's Paul doing? Paul's elevating Timothy to the same level as him. He's saying, Timothy, you're called like I'm called. You're called to be a preacher of the gospel just like I'm called to be a preacher. It's not me putting my hand on you. It's God putting his hand on you. And he says there in verse number 9 again, he says that who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to, listen, his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. What's Paul saying? He's saying God has a plan for you, Timothy, and it started before the world began. You know, that's the God that we serve. He knew who you would be before the world began. He knew what kind of person you would be before the world began. And he had a plan for your life before the world began. And in Timothy's case, that meant to be a preacher of the gospel. Now, here's the thing. I think it's important that every one of us have the kind of faith that Timothy had. It must be real. It ought to be rooted in Christ. Thank God if it can be rooted in some family members whose lives we've seen as an example of a life of faith. But then it ought to certainly be a responding faith. A responding faith is that when God speaks to your heart, you respond. You don't resist. You respond. And Timothy had that kind of faith. Timothy had a real faith, a rooted faith, and a responding faith. Isn't that what we should all desire, not just for ourselves, but certainly for our children? Now, it was not an accident that Timothy had that kind of faith. No one, by the way, can make you have faith. No one can force you to be the kind of Christian that is real and rooted and responding. But we can certainly make an atmosphere that makes it easier for a young person to do those things. And I believe that's what we have in Timothy's life. How did they do it? Well, I want to mention to you now the development of a Timothy. We see the distinctives. He was real in his faith. He was rooted and he was responding to God. But I want you to notice the distinctives. What made Timothy become the kind of man of God he was? Again, no one can force it on you. You have to respond yourself. But we ought to be parents and grandparents and uncles and aunts and older siblings that are nurturing this kind of faith. So how do we do it? Number one, it's just like Timothy. We must ourselves have a real faith. Timothy's grandmother and mother, I already explained to you about his dad, but his grandmother and mother had a genuine faith like Paul said that Timothy had. Back in verse number 5, he said that that faith that Timothy had first dwelt in his grandmother and his mother. What's Paul saying? He's saying, I saw a life in them that testified that they believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they had trusted him as their Savior, and that they were willing to live for him in this world. They had a genuine faith. I'm always reminded when I talk about children following their parents and their following in their parents' footsteps. I'm reminded of the story I read years ago about George Washington. It was around the time that he was kind of taking control of the army, and they were fighting for our independence here in America. And the story says that he was walking out into the snow. And he would go out in a quiet place to meditate and think about what he ought to do next. And as he was walking out into the snow, he heard something behind him and he turned around and looked, and there was his son, his adopted son, I believe it was, and he's following George and he's jumping into his footsteps in that snow. The story says that Washington fell to his knees and said, "Dear God, don't let me lead this boy astray." What an amazing story. And that's how we ought to be. Because I want to tell you, our children are following us. Dad in particular, if you've got a son, he wants to be just like you. I promise you, he wants to be just like you. My dad was killed in a motorcycle accident when I was 3 years old. And I'm telling you, when someone dies young like that, they become legendary. And everything I heard about my dad, I wanted to make sure it happened in my life. But can I tell you something? Most of it wasn't good. It certainly wasn't godly. But I wanted to be just like my dad. Men, listen, somebody's following you and watching you. We want to have a faith that is real for them to see as those little tender watchful eyes look at us and follow us. If we want to develop a faith in their life, our faith must first be real. Can I ask you a question this morning? Are you saved? Because that's where real faith starts. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're not leading a child to heaven if they're following you. If you die without Jesus, you're going to be in a place called hell. I heard about a sermon many years ago that was preached, and he said, "What's better than heaven and worse than hell?" That was the title of the message. And I thought, what a strange title. And my friend was telling me about it. It was actually at a funeral this message was preached. And the preacher said, the only thing better than heaven is to be there and to know that you have loved ones following you. You know, it's worse than hell, being there and knowing that you have loved ones following you. Do you have a real faith this morning? Is it genuine, real faith? If you want to have a Timothy, you must have a real faith. Secondly, he was faithfully taught the Word of God in his home. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter 3. These are wonderful verses here, 2 Timothy chapter 3. And notice, first of all, verse number 13. Now, Paul is writing this letter at the end of his life. And bad things are starting to happen. There's a lot of persecution and things like that that are going on. And listen, the longer the world's here, the worse things are going to get. But notice what Paul says here to Timothy, verse number 13. But evil men and seducers, people teaching false doctrine, shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Listen to verse 15. This is a great verse. Boy, if you mark your Bible, you ought to mark this. Moms and dads in particular, this is a great verse. He says, and that from a child thou hast known the, what's the next two words? Holy Scriptures. That from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, I want to ask you a question. Who do you think taught Timothy those Holy Scriptures? Grandma and Mama. Grandma and Mama. Now, I think Paul did what he could when he came through town. Paul didn't stay anywhere too long. He would come in and preach and start a church and then move on and go to the next place. And Paul wasn't there a long time. He wasn't there all the time, but Grandma and Mama were there all the time. I believe that they took the advice that God gave to Moses, who gave it to the children of Israel. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, it says there, thou shalt teach them the words of God, that is, these things I command thee, thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. In other words, teach our children the Word of God all the time. Have lots of scriptural talks with your children. You know, as your kids get older and they get grown, you don't necessarily get to gather them together as much as you used to. You know what I like to do? I like to text. Now, I don't necessarily love texting, but when it comes to sharing some truth from Scripture, I'll take something that God's given me and I'll text it to all my kids. Sometimes I'll say, read this. Then I'll go back and ask, did you read that? Why? Because it was important to me. Listen, we ought to be teaching our children, but it ought to be starting when they're just babies. This word here in 2 Timothy, that from a child, that word is brephos. It's the Greek word. It literally can mean all the way to the womb. It is another point, by the way, in Scripture that tells us that life starts at conception. Don't ever forget that truth. But that is the idea of this word, all the way back to that child in the mother's womb, teaching that child the truth. You say, how can you teach them? Well, science tells us if you read to them, play music for them, even when they're in the womb, that seems to affect them. You know what? I think it's a great idea. But don't stop there. Amen. And let me just throw this out there. You know, sometimes if we're not careful, we just kind of tag things like this on at the end of the day or at the end of whatever else, everything else is going on, and we throw some Word of God or some family time with Scripture or prayer right at the end. Let's not let it be that way. Let's make it so important that we make sure it's a part of the day during the day sometimes. It's important. Timothy was taught the Word of God by his grandmother and mother from a child. If we want to raise a Timothy, we got to do that. Number three, he was prayed for fervently. 2 Timothy 1:3. Notice what Paul says there. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. Sometimes when we know our kids are experiencing trouble, we'll pray for them more often. Or when we're experiencing trouble for our kids, we'll pray for them more often. Sometimes the prayer goes like this: Dear God, help me not to kill this little brat. God, help me to have at least a little bit of hair left by the time I get these kids raised. God didn't answer that prayer for me. But anyway, you think about it. We ought to be praying for them. Paul said night and day, praying fervently for them. And I can promise you that grandma and mama were praying every day. Do you spend time in prayer every day for your children, for your grandchildren, for your nieces, nephews? The Bible says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. When you consider the day in which we live, there's no denying the fact that we ought to be laboring before the Lord in prayer on behalf of our children. I'm terrified of what my grandchildren are going to see in this world. Terrified. I want God to put a hedge about them, and I'm praying that He'll do it. Amen. Timothy was prayed for fervently. And then let me give you one last thing here. Not only did Timothy grow up in a home where the faith was real, and he was faithfully taught the Word of God, and he was fervently prayed for, but he was also loved faithfully. He was loved faithfully. Look back there at verse number 2 of 2 Timothy chapter 1. Notice what Paul says here. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, or 2 Timothy, he says in verse 2, my dearly beloved son. My dearly beloved son. And then Paul says here that he had served with him from his forefathers of pure conscience, rather, without ceasing, I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, night and day. Look at verse 4, greatly desiring to see thee. Paul was telling Timothy that he loved him dearly. And I think our children need to hear that. Here's a grown man telling a man who really is his kind of his adopted son, and he says to him, I love you. You know, I talked to somebody not too long ago. I preached a funeral, and I talked about how important it is for you to tell your children you love them or to express that often, to verbally say it. Give them a hug, man. Once in a while, even my grown sons, I'll give them a hug. And of course, I hug my daughters. I tell them all I love them. But we live in a world sometimes where people say, oh, you know, we don't want to do that. So I'm not emotional. I had a guy tell me, I preached this funeral, and I said, it's important to tell your children you love them. This man came to me after the service and said, my dad never told me he loved me. That guy was 60-some years old. And you know, that's the thing he remembered. Dads, listen, tell them you love them. Moms, tell them you love them. Timothy was loved. He knew he was loved. He was loved because he knew he was loved because someone told him. He knew he was loved because someone taught him. He knew he was loved because somebody took the time to spend time with him, to nurture their relationship with him. Do your children understand you love them? I know you love them. I know you feel that in your heart, but listen to me. Love is communicated to a child, to a young person, through time. Your presence makes all the difference when you spend time with them, nurturing that relationship. And then one last thing here I'll give you about this matter of love. Paul showed Timothy his love for him because he communicated with him often. We have two letters here that he wrote him. And I'm sure he wrote other letters that weren't necessarily inspired, but Paul communicated that love with Timothy faithfully and regularly. There are times when Paul would caution Timothy about things. If you read 2 Timothy chapter 1 there and read or chapter 2, all the way through chapter 2, there are several cautions that Paul gives to Timothy, and then he encouraged him. What was it he said here? I greatly desire to see you. Those words meant a great deal to Timothy from the Apostle Paul. So we've seen a couple of things here that I think are important. If we want to develop a Timothy, then we got to have some things in our lives that are right. Amen. There are some distinctives about this young man named Timothy. His faith was real. It was rooted and it was responding. And if we want to see that kind of faith in our family and our children, then we need to have that same kind of faith as well. And we need to communicate it to them and a love for them. But there's a final word that I want to give you here, and that is there's a duty for the Timothy. We've seen the distinctive here of Timothy. We've seen the development of a Timothy. But what about Timothy? And if there's a Timothy in the room this morning, and I'd have to say I'm a Timothy. Someone took time to invest in me. And you might be here, maybe you're younger than I am, but you're a Timothy. Somebody took time to invest in you. Let me tell you, you have a duty, you have a responsibility, and the first thing about that is that you should reciprocate that responsibility of love. You should return the love that you were given. Someone invested in you, you ought to invest back in them. You ought to love them. They loved you. They communicated with you. They did things for you. You ought to turn around and be a blessing to your parents now or those that have invested in your life. Not only should you reciprocate, respond in kind, but you should repeat this process. And that's one of the things that Paul's driving at with Timothy. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 2, Paul says to Timothy here, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. What's Paul saying there? He's saying, Timothy, you need a Timothy. Go get a Timothy. So the duty of a Timothy is to do what Paul did all over again. And it needs to be handed down from generation to generation to generation. Now, I want to close with this thought, and that is this. Did it work in Timothy's life? Paul wrote Timothy this very important letter at the end of his life, and he encouraged Timothy to stay faithful and stick to the task. And so did it work in Timothy's life? Well, the answer is, historically, we know that it did. Timothy stayed at the church of Ephesus where Paul left him to be the pastor. And he stayed the rest of his life there. In fact, we understand that Timothy lived to be about 80 years of age. And so he served the Lord for another 30 years in this church here in Ephesus until one day he too, like Paul, was martyred for his faith. I'd say that God heard Paul's prayers. And Timothy responded to Paul's challenge and was obedient to the end. Listen, that's what we need to see today. We need to see people who are willing to live for God and to live for Jesus Christ in this world. But it all starts in the home. It all starts in the home. The development of a Timothy, we see it in the life of Timothy from the message of Paul. Let's start with that one question. Is your faith real today? Do you have a real faith? Let me ask it this way. Do you know 100% for sure that if you were to die today, that heaven would be your home? If you don't know that, today would be a great day to get that settled. Let's bow for prayer. Let's bow for prayer for just a moment. I wonder this morning, maybe there's someone here, God spoke into your heart. You go to church, you believe in God, but you're not sure that if you were to die today, heaven would be your home. Can I tell you, it's very simple. It is a matter of knowing, first of all, that you're a sinner. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Secondly, understanding that you cannot save yourself. Ephesians 2:8 and 9 says, for by grace are you saved, and that through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You cannot save yourself. You can't do enough good works to cover even one sin. It is Jesus that has paid it all. So number one, you're a sinner. Number two, you can't save yourself. Realize, though, that Jesus died to pay for all your sin. The Bible says that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. The Bible says that His blood washes away all sin. 1 John 1:7. And if you'll receive Him as your own personal Savior by faith, you can be saved for all eternity. He will never let you go. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, if you'll believe these truths, you're a sinner, you can't save yourself, Jesus died to pay for all your sins, and you will call upon Him as your Savior. He'll save you. Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're here today and you don't have that settled, let me encourage you right now in your heart, just ask the Lord Jesus to come into your heart and life. If you've trusted something else before now, turn from that and trust in Jesus alone. Just tell Him, Lord, forgive me for my sin. Please come into my heart and be my Savior. If you'll pray that prayer and mean it, I promise He'll save you for all eternity. All your sins will be forgiven, and you'll have a home in heaven.
Once again, thank you for joining us for the ESBC Pulpit Podcast. We hope that the message today has been a blessing to your heart and a challenge to you as well. If you have questions about what you've just listened to, or if you would like to know more about becoming a Christian, knowing Jesus as your personal Savior, please feel free to reach out to us. You can reach out by email at info@eastsidememphis.net or give our church office a call, 901-372-2583. Once again, that number is 901-372-2583. Join us again next week for another episode of the ESBC Pulpit Podcast.